Hi guys, I'll be reading the Bible for us tonight. Tonight's Bible reading comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, and can be found on page 1051 in your church Bibles. So it's Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" This is the word of the Lord.
You understand what I'm saying? Prayer is that kind of gift. It's a gift, but you have to master it to receive the blessing of it. Let me read it from Luke chapter 11. This was not our Bible reading. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. So you got it? Jesus is praying, and his disciples watch him. And so it goes on. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And Jesus goes ahead and does it. What does that tell you? That tells you that prayer is learnable. It's teachable and learnable. The disciples say to Jesus, "Teach us what it is that you have learned about prayer." Prayer is something, I'm talking to you now, prayer is something that you can learn and improve in. And tonight we're going to look at two particular dimensions of learning to pray. Okay, we want to learn how to pray. There are lots of different points we could make, but I'm going to look at two dimensions: how to pray and what to pray. And if you're using the sermon outlines in your prayer booklet, this is on page 7. How to pray and what to pray. Now, last week, we said prayer is a gift. It's part of being a child of God, and that means we pray, Christians pray, confidently. We don't pray guiltily or fearfully or pessimistically. We pray confidently because we're God's children. But tonight I'm going to emphasize something else, because Jesus stressed another element in prayer. He stressed the need to pray persistently. Persistently. That was what we heard in our Bible reading from Luke chapter 18. Verse 1 says, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. See, they asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and he spent a lot of time doing it. Part of it is this parable. It's a very simple parable. It only has two characters in it. It has a judge and a widow. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. I read this parable, I think of Judge Judy. This man, he has complete power. The ruling is final. There's no appeal. He's unsentimental. You can't pull his heartstrings. He's irreligious. So he doesn't even care about God. He's a real tough nut. The second character in the parable is a widow. And especially in this culture, a widow is just a byword for vulnerability and powerlessness. She has no money. She has no status. She has no advocate, no lawyer. Her plea is totally unremarkable. It's totally generic. The judge has heard it 1,000 times. Give me justice. She has one thing going for her: persistence. That's all she's got, persistence. There was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." Another translation is, she won't wear me out with all this coming. She keeps asking, and according to Jesus, it's only because she keeps asking that she gets it. Now, what's going on here? Jesus is trying to teach us something about prayer. What's going on here? Is Jesus saying, you know what? If you want to see your prayers answered, adopt the strategy of the three-year-old. Just keep whinging and whining and whinging and whining, and eventually the parent will give in. That is not what Jesus is saying. He's actually trying to do a contrast here between the judge and God, between the Judge Judy figure and your Heavenly Father. He's saying, if persistence can lead a man like that to vindicate a nameless widow, what effect will persistence have on your Heavenly Father dealing with his beloved child, you? Because you are not an unimportant widow, and your Heavenly Father is not a hard-hearted judge. And so he says in verse 7, "Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly." And so the parable is meant to be an incentive to persistent prayer based on God's character and love, all the things that the judge is not. But notice, it's a fascinating parable. Notice what Jesus is not saying or does not say. He doesn't say, you know what, with a judge like that, you've got to be persistent. With God, one time is enough. He doesn't say that. The contrast is on the impact of persistence on two different people. But persistence is assumed in both cases. Which raises an interesting question, doesn't it? Why should persistence make any difference to God? It's a bit mysterious, isn't it? You sometimes hear people say, oh, God is trying to wait to see whether you really mean it. I don't buy that. Nevertheless, Jesus says it matters to God that you persist. Mind you, ask yourself this question. What does persistence in prayer imply about your prayer life generally? It implies regularity, doesn't it? That's the context in which persistent prayer exists. And so this parable certainly teaches us this. If you want to see your prayers answered, get your prayer life in order. Bring regularity to your prayers. Well, there's one thought about how to pray. Persistently. Persistently. But here's another, the next point is this, what to pray. What to pray. And I think for many of us, this really is going to be the challenging point for us, maybe in this whole series. Let me tell you a true story. Tell me what you think of this. A number of years ago, I was watching an episode of that show, The Amazing Race. You know how that show works? It's like a, you know, scavenger hunt all over the world. Do you know the show? It's like a global scavenger hunt. You've got to find the ticket in the Eiffel Tower and then zoom off to Istanbul or whatever. I was watching one episode of this, and one of the teams, they're all in pairs, right? One of the teams was a mother and daughter. They were Christians, beautiful Christian mother and daughter. They were from America. And they're zooming across town in the back of the taxi, you know, towards the next clue or the envelope, whatever it is. And they're so agitated. And the mother prays, "Please, Lord Jesus, let us get there first." And there was a pause. And then she says, "If it's your will, O Lord." Now, it's a nice save, right? Let me ask you this. Don't call out, but formulate an answer. Is that an okay thing to pray? please, Lord, let us get there first. Only if it's your will, of course. What are you meant to pray for? What are you allowed to pray for? Is there anything that it's wrong to pray for? What about when you're driving somewhere, you are running so late, you just need a parking spot? Is it okay to say, God, I know this is bad, but please, please, I need that parking spot, God. Is that okay to pray that? Or how about this? How about you're supposed to have left half an hour ago and you have lost your phone. You have looked everywhere. I mean, you have looked everywhere. Is that okay to say, God, just help me find my phone, God? Is that okay? Do you remember what we said last week? Your prayers reveal who you think God is. Your prayers reveal who you think God is. What is the difference between the things that you would pray to God, the real God, and the wishes you would make if you had a genie in a lamp? What are the differences? What's the difference between real prayers to God who sent Jesus to die and rise for you and wishes you would make of a genie in a lamp? See, prayers, remember we said from last week, prayers, are you responding to God, the real God, your Heavenly Father, as his child? And that means that what you ask from him has to make sense in the light of who he really is and what he said. Your prayers have to reflect the fact that you know who God is. See, I may want to pray this. I'm coming to the end of my uni course, and I may want to pray, God, please let me get this cadetship. You know, everyone in my chute's applying for it. Please let me get it. I may want to pray that. That might be on my heart. But I can't see how that is based on or responding to God's character or God's priorities or God's purposes. In other words, I can't see how that's a Christian prayer. It's not enough to say, God can do anything, he loves me, and so I'm going to ask for whatever I like. That's what a person with a genie in a lamp says. The genie can do anything, so I'm going to ask for anything. But, I know what you're thinking, but what if something's just really on your heart, God knows it anyway, isn't it right to bring to God things that I just feel strongly about? That's a fair question. That's a good question. But though you long for the cadetship, if you discern that God did not give you access in prayer to his throne through the blood of Jesus in order to advance your career ambitions, and for that reason you decide that you are not going to pray that prayer, to me, that is an expression of faith in the real God. That's what faith looks like. That you know God is not a genie, but your Heavenly Father. On reflection, you might pray about that matter, but pray different things. You might pray, God, you see the burning desire I have for this cadetship. Teach me to think about my future the way you do, not the way the world does. Or you might pray something even, you might even discern something more profound about yourself. You might pray a prayer of repentance and say, God, I realize this cadetship has become a bit of an idol in my life. I realize I've been organizing my life around this instead of around you. You might pray that about the cadetship. It's not what we pray for, but what we pray about what we pray for that is the matter. Because you're praying to the real God. You're not just venting. One writer has a checklist for prayer requests. I love this. He says this. His checklist has 4 points. He says, if God granted this request, would it glorify him, advance his kingdom, help people or help me grow. That's the filter he puts before he prays a prayer. If God granted this request, would it glorify him? Would it advance his kingdom? Would it help people? Would it help me grow? Now, I wonder how you feel about that. You think, but I need my phone. How do you feel about that checklist? And it might be that even as you think about that, you think, I'm not sure I want a God who sets a higher priority on his kingdom and on my growth in Christ-likeness than on my personal preferences. Having a genie sounds fantastic. Some of our most heartfelt prayers are like that, aren't they? Some of our most heartfelt prayers are, please, God, do not let my parents find out. Please, God, make him fall in love with me. Please, God, get me out of this. Please, God, help me land this job. And we can get disillusioned when those prayers aren't answered. We think, I thought God loved me, or what about the promises in the Bible? We wonder if God is listening. But those are the requests you would make of a genie. They're not the requests you would make of a God who loves you and is bringing about his kingdom. I'm labouring the point, but it's an important one. You cannot separate your prayers from the real God you're praying to. It's like this. Imagine I go home tonight, in the middle of the night, my hot water system blows up. It's a plumbing emergency. I pick up my phone and I call Prash. I say, Prash, emergency, come and fix my plumbing. You know what? He's not going to do it. He's useless at plumbing. I'm making a request of the wrong person. I'm ignoring everything I know about Prash in order to ask him to come fix my hot water system. I can't feel outraged when Prash says, when Prash says, no, I'm not going to answer that request. I can't feel outraged because it was based on me ignoring what I know about him. And so it is with our prayers. Well, having said all that, I want to affirm this, very important. The Bible says God hears and answers prayer. God hears and answers prayer. We know it in our own experience. We can share testimonies about God hearing and answering prayer. And there's lots and lots and lots of examples in the Bible. I had lots, but I had to cull them down for the sake of length. I'll share just one. This is perhaps my favourite prayer story in the whole Bible. It's from Isaiah chapter 38. Let me read it to you. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life. How about that? What would Hezekiah say if we invited him here tonight to be our guest preacher on prayer? He would say, pray. He would say, you better pray because God hears and answers prayers. Before I finish, I have to address one more question. What if we have prayed and nothing happened? What if we worked through that checklist? This will glorify God and advance his kingdom and help people and help me grow. This prayer really seems to check out with all those things, and I've prayed it, and nothing happened. Maybe it was a prayer that somebody would become a Christian. Well, there's no question about God hearing, is there? We know that because of the gospel. The gospel says God has made you his child and hears. But what about when God doesn't grant prayer requests in the way we hope? Well, there's no slam dunk answer for this, but here are a couple of thoughts. Firstly, what would it imply if God granted every single request I made? What would that imply about my requests? It would imply that I was just perfect, that every request I ever made was just perfectly aligned with the sovereign will of God. It would imply that I was perfect. I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. Whereas God is perfect and he loves me. Therefore, there will be times when God does not give me what I ask. And that's okay by me. I mean, I thank God he didn't grant every request I made when I was 12, right? I mean, I'm not 12 anymore. But does that mean that every request I make is now perfect? Hardly. Also, we pray, but there are things we don't know. What if there are two Christian candidates both praying for that cadetship? I mean, someone's going to be disappointed, right? Or what if you're praying for rain for the farmers and I'm praying for clear skies for our carols? I mean, there's just things. Someone's going to be disappointed. Not because God isn't listening, but because there are things that you don't know. I remember in my previous church, there was a woman who, she had found what she thought was her dream job, and she came to see me after church one night, and she said, I just really want you to pray for this job. And we sat down after church, prayed about it. A couple of weeks later, she came to me, I missed out on the job. She was devastated. About a month later, she got a different job, and I'll never forget this. It was as if she'd forgotten the prayer request. She said to me, oh, I'm so glad I didn't get that other job. I thought, really? There's an important lesson there, right? There's just things we don't know. God is running the world. Most of the time, we don't get to that point where we say, oh, this is better than what would have happened. But we can be confident that God is in control. And the Bible, of course, has plenty of examples of prayer requests that are not answered. Very famously in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul writes about a particular physical suffering he has. He says, to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. This is the Apostle Paul we're talking about, right? I mean, this guy is a real prayer. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness. His prayer wasn't granted. Not the way he asked. Or maybe even more famously, Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. There's a prayer that wasn't answered. And gloriously, we understand why. And neither Paul nor Jesus saw that as a reason to stop praying, because they understood that God brings his love and his knowledge to bear in a way which means he doesn't always grant what we ask for. So, what have we said? Persist in prayer. Persist in prayer. One writer says this, the tragedy in my life has not been unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. That's good, isn't it? The tragedy in my life has not been unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Or as people sometimes say, the most common cause of unanswered prayer is prayerlessness. So you want to see your prayers answered, become more prayerful. Secondly, we should shape our prayers not primarily according to our desires, but primarily according to the God we're praying to. And finally, we know that God will always answer our prayers in the best way. As Paul says in Romans 8, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Well, let's pray. And I'm going to pray, as I did last week, using a traditional Anglican prayer that really captures these things beautifully. Let's pray together. Let your merciful ears, Lord God, be open to the prayers of your people. And so that they may obtain their petitions, make them to ask such things as will please you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.